Today, I want to share with you a few machshavos relating to Bris Milah. This week's parasha is the mitzvah. This week's parasha, we learn we are presented with the mitzvah of Bris Milah. And I want to present with you a few ideas about Bris Milah in the thought of Rabbi David Cohn. From here in Flatbush, the Rabbi David Cohn's, for the one here in Flatbush, Gvul Yavetz, the famous Rav of Flatbush, Gvul Yavetz, and he has a safe, he has 9 volumes called Masas Kapai. It's on a parish on Machshavas relating to Tefillah. It's not just Tefillah, it goes through the entire Tefillah for the entire year, and each one of his volumes he has a small section about Bris Milah. So I didn't get a chance to go through all 9 volumes, but I went through a few of the volumes and through little sections, and he has some very, very fascinating, beautiful machshavos discuss Bris Milah. Okay, first thing, let's jump around. There's something that we very unique we do by Bris Milah. We don't do it any other time. We make the reshus when we bench. When we bench is a very elaborate Rabbi Sayyim Revil mentioned. And then we have Noida Lishimcha B'Sochem Unai Beruchem Atem LaHashem. And then everyone answers, we go Chulu V'Chulu. And then we go Berushos HaToyra HaKidoisha Tohoyra Hi V'Gam Perusha. Beautiful Rishos. You know, it's similar to the Rishos on Simchas Torah. There's a very interesting parallel between the Bris Milah and the Rishos on Simchas Chosin Torah Chosin Bereshis. There's interesting parallels of who he gets the Rishos from. And then we did something that's very interesting. Bereshus HaKoyhanim. Here in this article, see that I have in front of me, it says HaKoyhanim HaLevim. Ekro LeLoikei HoIvriim. I call out to the God of the Hebrews. HoIvriim is a very interesting expression to refer to the Jews. The Ivriim, we've been changed from the Ivriim to the Yehudim, HaYehudim, or to the Israelim, but we call the HaYehudim. That's not the focus. I want to focus on HaLevim. And the gears that I read for you that it's presented with HaKoyhanim HaLevim, which means the Koyhanim who come from Sheva Levi. That's not what it says in every bencher. Check out, next time you go to a bris, check out the bencher. Some it says HaKoyhanim the HaLevim. There's a Vav. We ask Rishus from the Kehanim, and we ask the Rishus from the Levim. That there is no such halacha to give kavod to a Levi. There's a halacha in Kriyas HaTorah, first comes the Kehanim, then comes the Levi. There's a say the Kehanim, Levim, Yisraelim. But there's no halacha of the Kidashtoi that you give kavod to a Levi. There's a mitzvah, you give Meiser Rishayim to a Levi. But there's no inyan of giving kavod to a Levi. So, and in fact, in no time, and when you bench a regular Birchas HaMazon, and all of the Siddur Machzorim, when you Birchas HaMazon, by any event, by a wedding, by a Pidyon HaBen, you name it, you never ask Rishus from the Levim. Rishus, the one that's supposed to get Birchas Kohanim, are the Kohanim, V'Kidashtoi, called Dover Sheb Kedusha, he has first rights. If you're going to bypass someone else, then you have to seek Rishus from the Kohen, but you never seek Rishus from the Levi. So the question is why all of a sudden when it comes to Bris Milah are we so sensitive to the Levi as if we ask them Rishus? So simple little answer, well, that's not the Kreg Yersa. And indeed, that's how many say that the Kreg Yersa Rishus HaKoyhanim HaLevim, the Koyhanim who come from Sheva Levi, but we're not actually asking Rishus from the Levim. But that's only true for 50% of the Sidurim. The other 50% indeed have the HaLevim. So Rav David Cohen says something very poshut. He says that we give Kovid because in the midway for 40 years, Chazal tell us, we didn't have to do Bris Milah, we were criticized. Klai Yisrael was severely criticized for not being Meisr Nefesh to Bris Milah in the 40 years in the Midbar because there was no wind. We were protected by the Hanani HaKavod. There was no natural wind. Bris Milah is sakana. You need a good environment for recovery. And if you don't have natural wind, there's sakana. There was no wind, so they did not do it. That was a poor excuse because we should have been Meisr Nefesh nevertheless to do Bris Milah. The only ones that indeed did Bris Milah according to the Medrash was Sheva Levi. And we say this in Ulevi Amar, what? No, I don't think so. Everyone did Bris Milah Mitzrayim. By the Yikuni Dekaram Pesach. They first did it then, all along. Okay, maybe you're right. And where? How do we know this? To the Egyptians.
Right,
so but what about the Jewish people? They do during the later years of the Shibud? I don't know. Maybe, yeah. Okay, I don't know. But I don't know. But
Egyptologists refer to the time period that was expunged in terms of time. But the books on Egypt history will tell you now that the time frame fits in with the years. That there was this king who believed in monotheism and it changed everything. But after Yosef died, the new pharaoh
went back to the old system.
Broke all the rules and changed everything. But a lot of these minhagim were in
Yosef.
Effect for like 70, 80 years.
From the time of Yosef, yeah.
And it fits in with that time that he had that hashpah.
This medrash says very clearly that the only ones that did bris milah was Sheva Levi and the pasuk Uvrischa. The brachas of Levi Amar Tumecha Virecha Leish Chasidach Hashem Nisal Masad Trevei Meiva Chaimer Liaviv Lumo Lo Yisiv Yisachav Lekir. The pasuk concludes Uvrischa Yin Tzoyru. The Sheva Levi, they observe the Bris Mila when no one else did so in the Midbar. In the Midbar,
everyone did the Bris in the tribe.
Well, they couldn't eat the first Karban Pesach. Okay. But so therefore, Rav David Cohen suggests the reason why the only place we give cover to the Levi, or Rishus Levim, is because we give them credit when it comes to Bris Milah. They continued the legacy when no one else did. Therefore, Rishus HaKohanim VeHaLevim. Okay, now we go to, let's discuss a minog that's very common in Yerushalayim, and it's only found here by people who follow the minog Ra. And they do this in Chaim Berlin, is to make a Shechianu. Do you make a Shechianu at the time of a Bris Milah? Now one thing is for sure, one thing you don't do, one thing no one does, you don't make a bracha Shehasimcha b'mo'inai. That you do not do. Every time you make a Simcha, you make it by a Shev bracha, so you make the bracha Shehasimcha b'mo'inai. You don't do that when it comes to a Bris Milah. Why not? L'chol hades tsar d'yanuka. Being that the child is in a state of tsar because of the incision, it's not a simcha. When we're in tsar, Hashem is not in simcha. However, what about a shechianu? Whoever said a shechianu depends on tsar. So this is machlokes. The Rambam, yes, the Sfarim make shechianu. The Rambam says you should make a shechianu, because whoever told you that a shechianu means you have to be happy? Shechianu means you've reached a special moment in time. It does not necessarily relate to being happy. Happens to be that they usually coincide happiness with a special moment, but it's not necessarily related. Maybe and maybe not. So Taisvis says that you don't make a bracha. Taisvis says the custom is you don't make a bracha when you buy Bris Milah, because the Shechianu does require Simcha, and the child is in its state of Tsar, so there is no Shechianu. You don't make a Shechianu when you buy a pair of shoes. Why not? Tsar Balei Chaim. An animal had to die, had to give up its life to produce the leather to make your pair of shoes. You buy a pocketbook, a leather pocketbook, there's no Shechianu. Tsar, any leather product. What?
By Kedusha.
Because it's not the beginning. It's not the beginning. It's the it's the end. It's the end. Okay, you're right. That's a separate question. Why you make a shechen by a wedding? But why don't you? I don't know. Let's not go there. I don't know the answer. Because it's made from leather. A talis, you do make a shechianu. On a new talis, you make a shechianu. On tefillin, you don't make a shechianu because it's a product of leather, of an animal, tsar balichaim. It's also not so simple, you should know, that there are poskim that say that a bar mitzvah boy should make a shechianu on the tefillin.
On the mitzvah.
And therefore, you should wear a new beged. It's not so common to see people do this. All right, whatever it is. Here's Rav Zal. He says something very interesting. So you go to a Bris Milah in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, you guaranteed Baruch Atah Hashem Kiyom Elchum Asher Kiddushan B'Mitzvah Yisrael Al Hamila. Who does that? That is the bracha of the Moyo. Then the father, the Avi Aben Asher Kiddushan B'Mitzvah Yisrael Lachnisa B'Visa Shal Avram Avinu. That's the bracha that's miyuchid for the father. And then in Yerushalayim, now in America, Chutziar, it's right away the Olam, the Gemara says, right away the Olam responds, Kashem Shenichna Amen. You answer Amen. Kashem Shenichna Stabris, can you connect the Torah Luchub Lamasim Toivim? So Gemara, In a Yerushalayim, what do you hear? Baruch Hashem Hashanu b'mitzvos lachnisa b'vrisa shalav marvinu. Amen. Baruch Atah Hashem l'kidim melechlam shachiyani v'kivani v'gin lazman hazeh. Amen. And then the Olam responds and says, "K'shem shnichnas nabris k'nyikonis toil l'chul basim tovim." Shav Davakoni says that he believes, you know, he's taking on the whole world now. He's David Ho'ivri. He's taking on the whole world, and he says he believes it's shalai kedin. He believes that it's a toss, that it's a din of the Gemara. You're supposed to, the brach of Kashem Shnichnas, the says in the Gemara, Mesech the Shabbos, that Kashem Shnichnas the Bris is the response of Lachnisa Berisai, and the Shechiyana should be made afterwards. The Olam, you answer Amen, and you say Kashem Shnichnas the Bris, and then if it's your custom to say Shechiyanu, then you first make the Shechiyanu. I daven very often in Chaim Berlin. In Chaim Berlin, the custom there is to make a Shechiyanu, and they make a Shechiyanu, and they do it exactly like he says not to do it. They do like what they do, like he says they do in Yerushalayim, is they make the two brachas together, and after they make the two brachas, then they say Kashem Shnichnas. What's very interesting is that you know the people, the Bnei Yeshiva, it's second nature. They make two brachas. But more often than not, someone who is making a bris in the yeshiva has a lot of guests. Someone, especially the newlyweds. You know, the first baby, it's packed. By the time you're up to the 10th kid, you're lucky if there's a minion. but there are a lot of guests. So anyone that is a guest is not used to the Shechiyanu. So they start saying it right. There's always this confusion by a very big bris. They finish at Lachnisa b'Brisa Shal Avram Avinu, and all of the guests immediately start saying Kashem Shnichnas the Bris. When the Avi HaBen, who is a member, usually a member of the, if he's making the bris there, it's usually that he's a long-term member of the yeshiva, and he's already used to the custom of saying the Shechiyanu right away. But it's a very interesting point where he's taking on, you can't fight City Hall. You can't change a minute, but he says, he believes, it's a very interesting idea, he believes that it's Shema Mishalei Kedin. Okay, we have over here, who comes to Bris Mila? Eliyahu HaNavi. Why does Eliyahu HaNavi have to come to Bris Mila? Why? Alright, so we know the Gemara, we know that because he criticized in Sefer Shmuel, Eliyahu HaNavi, Malachim Beis, Eliyahu HaNavi, he criticized HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he said that give up on these people. He was very critical of Klal. He told them, said to Hashem, they've abandoned your bris. They have abandoned your bris. So Hashem says, how dare you talk about my people like that? I'll show you they have not abandoned my bris. You will now go to every single bris. You will be very busy. You'll be very busy, and you'll have to make an appearance to bear witness that they have not abandoned my bris. What?
Two person going on at 8:00 in the morning.
Yeah, well.
Oh, listen. When was the last time you listen? Okay, whatever it is. Okay, Zeh Kisei Shel Eliyahu Hanavi. Okay, there's the chair of Eliyahu Hanavi. It's part. You put the baby. It's a kibbutz. It's a beautiful kibbutz. You take the baby. You put the baby down on the Kisei Shel Eliyahu Hanavi. Okay, that's he's there. Yeah, that's the way it is. So Rav Dovah Kahn has a very beautiful idea. He says, this is the Gemara Masechta Idyos. Masechta is the Gemara that says, Hidei Anochi Yishlach Lechem Eis Eliyahu HaNavi Lifnei Bo Yoyim Hashem HaGol V'Hanera. It's the end of Masechta. It's the Gemara there very clearly tells us, I think it's even a Mishnah, if I'm not mistaken. It's a Mishnah, that Eliyahu, the main reason why Eliyahu, one of the main tafkidim of Eliyahu HaNavi for coming before the time of Mashiach is to be Miyaches Klal Yisrael. By Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yichus is very important. Lineage, to know where you come from. To know, even by the Goyim today, it's a very big thing today. Ancestry.com and all of these websites where they have database where they give you a DNA. They had an article recently where there's some, they're going to work together. Certain companies, certain pharmaceuticals are going to work together with these institutions were trying to trace everyone's lineage. It's a big thing. Yichus by Klal Yisrael is sacred. In fact, in the Beis HaMikdash, what did the Sanhedrin that sat in the Lishkas HaGozis, what did they occupy themselves with the whole day? By and large, what was their main function? To be miyaches to kohanim. Kohanim that will come for duty, for service, first have to bring a Yichus brief. And if there is no yichus brief, that's 100%, they got to go check. They got to make an investigation. And it's a very difficult. So it said the same way the Beis Din in the Beis HaMikdash, the Sanhedrin, the Lishkagaz, this is what they spend most of their time doing. That's what Eliyahu is going to be doing when he comes, the time of Mashiach. It's a Gemara, it's a Mishnah. And the Gemara has a discussion, well, what happens if a person is already accepted to be a Miyuchas? Does that mean Eliyahu Navi is going to push him out? So one Tana says yes. The other Tana says no. Chassid, anyone that's already a member, card-carrying member, you're grandfathered in. No one's looking for skeletons. Eliyahu HaNavi is going to bring people in that you never imagined. He's going to be miyachet people that you thought were totally fryer, totally off the deck, totally goyim, and he's going to show you their yichus. He's going to prove to you that this people is a ben acha ben from so-and-so, and they're also going to be part, they're going to be what? Yeah, it's a half of a fella. Cardinal O'Connor, could you imagine Cardinal O'Connor was Jewish? Mother was Jewish. Halfly, his father was a guy. But his mother, Halfly of a fella, he was one of the most respected cardinals in the entire church.
Well, Lustiger,
he had Jewish.
And he wasn't Jewish. Lustiger was not. If the Pope would have not have been living, would have died during. He was one of the top candidates to have been the Pope.
Yeah.
O'Connor wouldn't have made it to be the Pope.
He was.
That's what they say. Okay, John Paul outlived them all. Okay, John Paul, he made it all the way down. He outlived them all. But had John Paul not been around that long, what? How do you even retire? This is a chiddush now. The Pope retires.
He was the chief chaplain of the Navy.
Yeah.
And in his career, he pushed a lot of
Jews
into the chaplaincy. They should help.
Them. They should. He had a very close relationship with Moshe Scherer. He was in front of all the bishops. He hugged them and kissed them. And they all looked at him like they were jealous. So he says, "What do you want? He's my rabbi. This is my rabbi." And there was this mysterious thing they wrote up. They all wrote up. They were all the newspapers, reporters, that after when they discovered he's Jewish, they said, now we understand in the 80s, when many people, they marched, Washington, YU, was very big into this. They marched. They went to Washington to march to free Soviet Jewry.
It was on the Lower Fifth Avenue. He used to stand outside St. Patrick's.
So he went and he participated in some of these marches. And at one point he spoke and he said these words, "I stand here together with you as a Jew." And like everyone, what is that? What do you mean? You stand here as a Jew? You're not a Jew. So he meant, you could interpret what he meant, identify, it was a slip of the tongue, I identify as a Jew, I believe in your cause. What did he mean as a Jew? So at the time, people didn't make much of it. Okay, there wasn't the internet where you can go and you can build up something in the sugar like you can do today. But then when it came out that he was a Jew, everyone started saying, did he really know? And when he made that comment, what did he mean? Not likely, but, okay, we're going over the topic. But the point we want to make over here, I totally forgot what Eliyahu HaNavi, when the time of Mashiach, and it says the Gemara Mefsech, it is coming, and the main thing is to Yichus. As Machlek in the Gemara, will he be Merachek the Kroivim? Will he distance people that we think are religious? So the one Tana says yes. Another Tana says Chas V'Shalom, is only coming to be Mekarev the Rechaikim. So what do we learn from this Gemara? Rav David Cohen says, a very powerful yisoy. Anytime you focus on Eliyahu HaNavi, you have to realize Eliyahu HaNavi's ikar tafkid is yichus, is miyaches klal yisrael. Okay, now let's go to the topic of Arelim. Who in Tanakh? I'm coming. Time. What?
How does it feel coming to the fresh?
I'm coming right now. That's what I'm coming to. I'm coming to explain. Now, let's go study Tanakh. There are many nations. Who is the nation that is dubbed over and over more so disproportionately than any other nation as being an Arelin? Is given the insult of an Orel. There's one particular nation that is disproportionate to Plishtim. And Sefer Shoftim, they're always called the Arelin. You don't call Ammon the Moav Arelim. You don't call the Edom Arelim. The only one you're calling Arelim is the Plishtim. They're the ones that are the quintessential Arel. The Arelim. Why? Why? So I think it's this week's parasha. It was in this week's parasha of the Kaf. What are the word of the Plishtim? The Plishtim, the Rashi says, the Kaftirim. Kaspuchim.
They each other. So they,
which parasha was that? That was this, last week's parasha?
Kaspuchim and.
The Plishtim. The nation of the Plishtim is a product of Mamzerus.
Right. They used to swap
wives. No one really knew who their father was. The people that the nation of Plishtim came from a group of people who was unheard of in the time. Okay, today it might be common, but it wasn't common in ancient times. Everyone knew who your father was. The first nation that did not know who their father was, that lacked yichus, were the Plishtim. The Mela, so he says a very powerful yisod. The essence of he develops this in many ways in a lot of the four volumes I saw. He says this in different ways, but this is one of his big yisodis in Bris Mila. The essence of Bris Mila is yichus. When you do Bris Mila, you're doing something. You're doing an act. You're putting a sign on your body that expresses the fact that you are miyuchas. The yichus of Klal Yisrael is unique. The Goyim don't keep track of Yichus. They don't keep track of Yichus more than one or two generations, whatever it is. They're not makbid on their Yichus. Klal Yisrael were B'nai Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's what we call Lachnisa Bevisa Shel Avraham Avinu. All the mitzvahs we trace back only to Matan Torah. Where do you have a mitzvah that you're tracing back even when you make the bracha all the way back to the Avos? Where do you have such a thing? Even Git Hanoshe. You don't hear about the Avos. Give a Giranosha. Matan Torah. Oh, why is it Giranosha? Because of the Malach and Yaakov and Esav, the Sidna Shal Esav. But you don't talk about, you don't make a bracha. I'm not eating the Giranosha because it's because of Yaakov and Esav. You don't do that. The only mitzvah in the bracha, l'hachnisei bevrisa shel Avraham Avinu, even the Torah was given once again, by Matan Torah, is the Yichus. It's a sign that we're miyuchasim. And he explains that it's for this reason. Why do you give a name at a bris mila? Why name? Give the name like a girl. First Shabbos, you come to shul. You can make a mishaberach. You give a name. You maybe give the name by. You make 30 days. Who says the baby's going to make it for 30 days? It's a nafel. Wait 30 days until the baby's ready. Until they give it a name. Why do you have to give a name? Bedafka at the bris mila. Why is the name, the meaning of the name Tali in the Rikosh Shema Yisrael at the Bris Mila? Because the Bris Mila is an act, covenant that we are miyuchasim. We are B'nai Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. Avraham Avinu. That's why you give the name. That's what it's all about. And now he says we can readily understand that's why the Plishtim are called the Arelim. Because they have no yichos. They are the quintessential nation without yichos. And now you understand why B'davka Eliyo HaNavi comes to the Bris Mila. Because Eliyo HaNavi Masech, the Idiot, is the one that's here for yichos. That's what his tafkid is going to be when Mashiach comes. Yichos of Klal Yisrael, Memel, he's coming to the Bris Mila, this is a miyuchas. And there's a sign on the child that he's a miyuchas. That this is a very beautiful, novel idea from Rav David Kahn. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. We have a very unique the ceremony of Bris Mila is beautiful. It's unique when there's a tefillah right after you make the bracha. You say a bracha. Lokeinu Chavaseinu Kayemes Hayeled Hazel Yavulimo VYikar Yishma VYisrael. You name him, and then you go on. You mispalel. Well, that's already one kim. Kayemes Hayeled Hazel. You should live, and you go on with the Ma'achayi the Nemar, and then Vayim LaAvraham. Save lahatzilis yididenu mi be'er shachas. I don't even find that in the tefillah. That's in the first bracha. Baruch atah Hashem kein melech l'masher kiddash yidid mi beten v'choyk b'she'er osam v'tzeetzav chosam b'oyis v'shkodesh al kein tefillah. You make demands of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You make a bracha, you make the Baruch Priya Gafen, and you start making demands. Al kein, bischarzos, kel chai, chelkeinu tsurenu, tzavei. We demand of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you shall issue the command, lahatzil yedidus sheirenu, our remnant, mishachas from the grave, leman berisai, due to the bris, asher sam, bivsareinu baruch HaShem, karei sabris. And then we make another tefillah. We mispal, and then when we give the name, we mevakesh, I should live. The entire theme is, b'damai chayi, kayem es yelad azeh. So Rav David Cohen says, what in the world is going on? Why are there these two major tefillos? There are two major themes that the child should not go into the grave save him, and then we must know that he should live. What is this all about? So he says a fascinating idea. When Amram Avinu, he had the Bris Milah, he first consulted with his three closest friends. Oner, Eshkol, and Mamre. This is the Medrash that's quoted very often in this parashah and all the commentators. What did Oner say to Avram? Don't do it. You know why? You're an old man. You're 100 years old. You know, at that time he was, how old? He was 90 years old. 90 years old, don't do it. You're going to die. You're going to die. Because, what? 99. Don't do it. You're going to die. It's sakonis nefashos. Don't do it. It's just sakonis to do. That was the advice of Oner. Oner died. Oner, according to one interpretation, in the Medrash, he died after he gave him the bad advice. As a punishment, he died. Eshkol, the second member, said to him, "You're not going to die. You're not going to die. You'll live. I give you a medical exam. You're fit. You passed the stress test. You're okay. But why would you want to mark yourself with a permanent sign as a Jew? Don't you know Chazal, Halacha B'Yodenu, Esav son of Yaakov, even Esav wasn't born yet, but you're going to make yourself a marked man. You're putting a target. You're putting a target on your body. For all generations, you'll be able to identify who a Jew is just by looking at their body. Why would you want to do it? We know in the Holocaust, there's so many stories like this. Holocaust, all different stories. The fact that there's one amazing story that a certain child that was like the poster child for the Nazis. And they dressed him up in a Nazi uniform, and he was their poster child, and he was Jewish. And he even had a bris milah. And the miracle was they never even checked. There was one person that Taka knew and always
put. It's
Bob Meissel? Yeah?
It was from Australia.
Okay. I take it back then. Is that not true?
No, but they highlighted a lot of people who hid their identities and went up the ranks in being Nazis.
I'm really Jews.
A person who became a colonel in the SS.
Right.
But what happened was he just did it to hide himself. But when he started getting to a position where it was up to him to kill other Jews, he disappeared. In other words, he realized he went too far and he couldn't handle it anymore.
The Nazis officially took certain Jews who they really needed and made them non-Jewish.
For their own need. And they had a bris milah.
So
had someone discovered that was the test, that was the big test. Right. You don't have bris milah. So that's who told them this? Eshkol. That's what it says in the Medrash. Eshkol says, you'll live, but you're making yourself a marked man. You're making yourself a marked man by doing this. So and that was his advice. And Avram did not listen to them, and Eshkol died. And then he went to a Mamre. And Mamre said, do it. Do it. And not only I'm going to do it first. And Mamre did the bris milah before Avram, which was not proper. He jumped the gun, and he was punished. According to one version, he died because he was not commanded. Avram was supposed to do it first, and he had no right to jump the gun and do it before Avram Avinu. He's not the one that had the right to do it. And therefore, that was the story of the three friends. So according to Rabbi Dov Akoni, he says that's exactly what we're reenacting here with these brachas. It's a very novel idea. He says that you make the bracha, lachnisai bevrisai shal Avram Avinu. Now we are reminded of the whole sequence of events with Oner and Eshkol, and the main objections was it's sakonis nefashos ki alecha haragnu. There's truth to it. It's a sakana. That's what they argued in the Mitzitza Bepe controversy. I'm not at all getting involved in this controversy, but one of the arguments they threw around is, well, you have to realize the whole nature of bris milah involves a risk. There are risks. And that's what part, and that this is something which is incompatible with this idea is totally incompatible with government regulations, is that that by nature bris milah is a sakana. Government, this sakana, even a 1% sakana is usur, but bris milah, Chazal say, is a sakana. It's a sakana, and a sakana means it's going to be
bris milah in the hospital.
Okay, so they're doing, because there they figured the risks outweigh whatever it is. But alecha horagnu Kol hayom. There is a risk. There's a risk involved. And the Torah tells us, when it comes to bris milah, shmart mis nafsho seichem, but when it comes to bris milah, you have to take that risk. It's a very scary thing, what that means exactly. But when we do the bris milah, we reenact these two arguments, and therefore we mispalel the second pakoshis, kayem es hayelet hazel le'ov v'le'imo, to counteract the argument of oner, and the bracha of tzave lehatzil yedidu sheirenu, and the beloved remnant of Klal Yisrael. Now this is an expression which means that we are a marked nation, mishachas, from the grave. They're trying to wipe us out, genocide. The umos olam are trying to take the sheirenu, the yedidush, the Jewish nation. They're trying to wipe us out. How do they know who we are? Why can't we hide? We're marked. We're marked men because of the bris milah. Tzavis, we mispalo that the argument of Eshkol should not hold up. Hashem should intervene, should grant us siyat d'shmaya to overcome Eshkol. Tzavi lahatzal yidir sherim mishachas leman b'risa, Hashem, because of the mis that we've done your bidding. So this is another novel idea from Avdav Kohn of why bedafka we are mispalo these two. Let's conclude with one very quick thing, and we'll do more of this next week, some more ideas. But one other quick thing is, this is not from Avdav Kohn, this is a famous var from Avinus and Eibishitz. Avinus and Eibishitz was once asked by a Kohen, a priest, came to make trouble, and he said, why is it you Jews, you're so, you racist? You only mevakesh for roifei choile amo Yisrael. In the bracha of Rifo Einu Hashem v'nei roifei hoshivli v'shekis l'asem v'ata, you conclude bracha to Hashem roifei choile amo Yisrael. You're racist. So why don't you be mispel for the refuah of the Gan Tzolam? So Avinus and Eibishitz was swift on his feet, and he right away said, we are mispalo. We say the Asher Yotzer every single day. Rofei Chol Basar Umafli Lasos. And this that we say Rofei Chol Amo Yisrael is because that this is the pillow. What he said is the Shemone Esrei, the refuah is only for Bris Milah. It's not for general refuah. General refuah is Asher Yotzer. When you say Rofei Chol Amo, who gets refuah? The Chol Amo Yisrael. Only Klal Yisrael. The Goyim don't have a Bris Milah, so they don't need the refuah. And the proof is, it's the eighth bracha. It's the eighth bracha of the Shemona Esrei. It corresponds to the Bris Milah. That is how he answers. So I know if he gave this answer to the Koimer, there must have been some truth to this answer. But then he told his Talmidim, "I'll tell you the real answer. The real answer is that the Roifei Rasha Yotzar is Refuah Derech HaTeva." Natural, a person gets sick, the body is Hashem built into the body the koyach to overcome illness. But the bracha that you say roifei chol amo yisrael is supernatural to refuah that's lemala mederech hateva, that beats statistics, and that we only mispal for klal yisrael. Only they are deserving to overcome the statistics, to overcome derech hateva, what the body would not be able to overcome. But the first answer is also true. The bracha of refuah is the eighth bracha, and that's meyuchad, the bracha of Shemone Esrei. It's interesting. Every time you daven Shemone Esrei, you're focusing on bedafka bris milah. Okay, have a wonderful day.